This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Thank you for joining me. We begin with articles, announcements, and information about the town of Auburn. There is no select board meeting scheduled for Monday, July 13th. However, the following meetings will be held during the week of July 13th. We begin with Tuesday, July 14th. The planning board will meet at 7 p.m. in the select board room at Town Hall. And then future meetings will include on July 16th at 8 a.m. WRTA Advisory Board meeting. On July 16th, again, Zoning Board of Appeals at 6 p.m. in the Select Board Room, Town Hall. The next announcement from the town of Auburn, voting by mail in 2026. Auburn voters can vote early by mail in all 2026 elections. Watch your mail 45 days before each statewide election. A prepaid vote-by-mail application is mailed to registered voters. Already applied? If you already applied for the upcoming election, you will not get another application. Fill it out, request a ballot for the next statewide election, or for all 2026 elections. Sign it and mail it back. Primaries only. If you are unenrolled, choose which party ballot you want. State primary deadline. Request a ballot for the September 1st, 2026 state primary by Tuesday, August 25th, 2026 at 5 p.m. Need another application? Download a vote by mail application. If you can't print it, sign the request, may be used to apply. Or for other details, for other inquiries, call the town clerk's office with questions at 508-832-7701. Next announcement from the town of Auburn. New ballot colors starting September 1st. Secretary of Commonwealth William F. Gallen directs a change in primary vote ballots. According to General Law 53, Section 33 requires that primary ballots for each party be different colors. Effective this year, the color of the ballot shall be: official Democratic ballot will be blue, the official Democratic early absentee primary ballot will be light blue, official Republican ballot will be pink, official Republican absentee early primary ballot will be salmon color, official state election ballot will be white, and official early absentee statewide ballot will be yellow. This change reflects voters' expectations and will help reduce confusion and errors when ballots are provided to voters. For more questions, call the town clerk's office at 508-832-7701. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn. Attention, this post is to notify residents that there will be a helicopter in our neighborhoods. National Grid will be starting our annual inspection of the transmission system starting on Monday, July 13th. These inspections are expected to last 3 to 4 weeks, weather permitting. The patrol helicopter will be in blue and yellow. Bell tail numbers will change during both patrols. Following the IR patrol, we will perform our annual visual inspection on the system, which is also expected to last around 15 days. There should not be any hovering unless an issue is found. Please reach out to your community, in this case Auburn, if there are any questions. Thank you from the Central West Community Engagement Team, or call the town manager with your questions about this situation or activity at 508-832-7701. to zero. Following news is from the Auburn, Massachusetts Police Department's Facebook page, dated July 8th. On today's episode of Criminal Makes Terrible Travel Plans, on Tuesday, July 7th, Auburn police officers reported to McDonald's on Auburn Street after receiving a report of an argument in which one of the involved parties allegedly flashed a firearm. Unlike the McDonald's ice cream machine, this investigation was up and running in no time. According to the caller, the man with the firearm had hopped on a WRTA bus. Now, we are not transportation experts, but if your post-argument escape plan relies on a bus that stops every few hundred feet, you may want to rethink your strategy. Unless you might just end up busted, we will see ourselves out. To absolutely no one's surprise, officers quickly located the bus and conducted a stop to investigate. Officers identified an individual matching the description provided by the caller. As the investigation continued, witnesses identified a black crossbody bag belonging to the suspect. Based on the investigation, officers developed cause to search the bag and recovered a loaded revolver. One thing they didn't recover, a license to carry. Then came our favorite part. The suspect admitted the bag belonged to him, along with every item inside it. Every item except the loaded firearm. It's always fascinating when selective memory shows up at exactly the wrong time. The firearm was recovered and processed by the Auburn Police Bureau of Criminal Investigation. As a result, 20-year-old Christopher DeRosiers of Worcester was arrested and arraigned in the Worcester court for carrying a firearm without a license, carrying a loaded firearm without a license, possession of ammunition without a federal ID card, outstanding work by Officers Rodwell, Sergeant Santos, Sergeant Wildman, Detective Alexandrovich, Detective Chipman, Officer Walker, Officer Myers, Officer Markovenis, and Officer Ortiz, and our 911 dispatchers for quickly locating the involved party and safely recovering the firearm before anyone was injured. As always, all defendants are presumed innocent and until proven guilty in a court of law. Our next announcement from the Auburn, Massachusetts Police Department Facebook page, dated July 10th. Today, we attended the Worcester Police Academy graduation, where our three newest officers officially graduated from the Police Academy. Please join us in welcoming Officer Nathan Luos, Officer Carrie Giardin, and Officer Jack DeRosier to the Auburn Police Department. On Monday, they will begin their 3-month field training program before hitting the road on their own. Congratulations to all three officers and welcome aboard. Following announcement is from the Auburn Youth and Family Services Facebook page, dated July 10th. Now, the Auburn Youth and Family Services is located at 21 Pheasant Court, Auburn, and they would like you to know that the Auburn Youth and Family Services offer a food pantry on Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. These dates will include July 22nd, August 5th, August 12th, 2026. You must have an appointment and be an Auburn resident to be eligible for the food pantry. All calls are confidential. For more information, call 508-832-5707, extension 102. We are here to help. However, if you want to donate food to the food pantry, you can do it by calling the Auburn Youth and Family Services at the same number, 508-832-5707, extension 102. Feed a family, change a life. Programs, activities, and announcements are from the Auburn Senior Center. We begin with Monday, July 20th at 1 p.m., Marvin Perry. Marvin is one of Southern New England's most in-demand and well-respected vocalists. A seasoned and much-loved performer, he regularly entertains audiences in senior communities. His show features classic hits from legendary artists like Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke, The Drifters, The Platters, Elvis Presley, Frankie Valli, The Temptations, Tony Orlando and Dawn, Bobby Darin, and many more favorites from the 1950s. Once again, Marvin Perry on Monday, July 20th at 1 p.m. at the Senior Center. A reservation is requested by calling 508-832-7799. The next program at the Auburn Senior Center will be held on Wednesday, July 22nd at 1 p.m. Fluoride, what you should know. Fluoride is one of the most debated chemicals in modern public health. Some health organizations say it helps prevent tooth decay, while critics argue that too much fluoride exposure may carry risks. Whether you support water fluoridation or question it, understanding where fluoride comes from and how it affects the body is important. What do you know about fluoride? Do you care about the toxic chemical? In what food or drinks is it in? What are the limits? What are the side effects? Dr. Harvey Claremont, or known as Dr. C, will provide a comprehensive overview and explain everything you need to know about fluoride on Wednesday, July 22nd, starting at 1 p.m. at the Auburn Senior Center. For more information and a reservation, please call 508-832-7799. The Senior Center serves lunch daily on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lunch is served at 12 p.m. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. Remember, if you'd like to join us for lunch, please make your reservation 2 days in advance by calling 508-832-7799. Now, the following is the menu for the next couple weeks, including Wednesday, July 15th, roast turkey and gravy, mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts, and apple crisp. On Thursday, July 16th, it'll be macaroni and cheese, stewed tomatoes, green beans, fresh fruit. On Friday, July 17th, it'll be teriyaki beef with steamed rice, broccoli, and pineapple. And then on Monday, July 20th, pork ribeye Q with barbecue sauce, mac and cheese, green beans, and cold baked apples. And then on Tuesday, July 21st, Swedish meatballs, mashed potatoes, Scandinavian vegetables, vanilla pudding. And then on Wednesday, July 22nd, sloppy joe, herbed potatoes, mixed vegetables, fresh fruit, and for reservation, please call 508-832-7799 at least 2 days in advance of the meal that you'd like to attend. There's a $3 suggested donation requested. Senior Center would like you to know that they serve complimentary coffee, tea, and pastries every day. Browse our selection of books and puzzles, all available free of charge. So stop in, relax, and enjoy. The Senior Center also provides transportation services. The Auburn Senior Center and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority offer shared ride transportation for Auburn residents age 60 or older, individuals with disabilities of all ages. The van provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the Worcester Regional Transit Authority at 508-752-9288. And SHINE, which stands for Serving the Health Insurance Needs of Everyone, call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799 to schedule an appointment with Patrick Morris, our certified SHINE counselor. Senior Center is located at 4 Goddard Drive. They are open Monday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. The following articles are from the July 10, 2026 edition of the Auburn News. We begin with Friends of the Auburn Library announce upcoming events. The Friends of the Auburn, Massachusetts Public Library announced their next book sale on Saturday, July 18th from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Auburn Public Library, 369 Southbridge Street, Auburn. Choose from hundreds of gently used fiction, nonfiction, how-to, cooking, children's books, DVDs, and more. Please stop by and support the Friends of the Auburn Public Library. All proceeds of the book sale will be used to fund and enhance services, expand programs, and purchase other extraordinary items not included in the municipal budget. Summer reading kickoff, all ages. The Friends would like to offer our appreciation and thanks for the fabulous donation of $2,000 from Savers Bank for the summer reading program at the Auburn Library. Summer reading at the Auburn Library officially begins the week of June 21st. It is not too late to sign up at the library to receive your paper reading log. Participants will earn drawing tickets towards 12 prize baskets by reading each week. Participants can also complete reading activities to earn up to 4 small prizes. Visit the Auburn Library's website for more information. The volunteer drive. Do you want to help support the programs at the Auburn Library? Do you have a friend or neighbor that loves the library? We love to meet new friends and volunteers to support our projects. The Friends will get together on July 27th at 5:30 p.m. at the library to discuss future volunteer fundraising opportunities to support the library. All are welcome. The Friends of the Auburn Public Library is an independent, nonprofit, volunteer organization dedicated to raising money through donations, book sales, and other activities, and to donate those funds to the library for materials, services, and programs not funded through the municipal budget. Once again, if you have any questions, contact the Friends through their website. The following article is from the July 3rd, 2026 edition of the Auburn News. Tasty Cool Places in Auburn. This article is by Helen Poirier of the Auburn, Massachusetts Historical Society. Summer is here, and with the hot days, one's thoughts could be cooling down with ice cream and the many flavors that can make deciding which kind to choose difficult. There was a time in Auburn when where to get your ice cream could be a tough decision also. There were many ice cream places to visit in Auburn's history. This article will be the start of a multi-part series highlighting different ice cream stores that were in Auburn from past to present. To help gather information, a survey was put out on the Auburn Historical Society and Museum's Facebook page asking for the best place, past and present, to get ice cream in town and why, as well as favorite flavors. There were standalone ice cream shops, ice cream at convenience-style stores, restaurants, and unexpected places of business like a filling station. The consensus so far is 3-1 hard ice cream over soft serve, was with novelty treats coming in third. A long time West Auburn resident remembers a Sunoco gas station at 887 Southbridge Street, run by Ralph R. and Grace E. Ross, who originally were from Vermont. Besides selling gas, there was a small room attached to the main house on Route 20 side where they sold candy and ice cream. That was his favorite place to get his ice cream cone. where the 99 restaurant is now located, originally started out as Dutchland Farms, which was a chain of ice cream and lunch shops that started in Brockton, Massachusetts, on a dairy farm established by Fred Field in 1897. A picture of the Dutchland Farm store, which was built by L.O. Irish Company of Auburn, Massachusetts in 1933, can be found in our Images of Auburn book, which is available for sale at the museum. Eventually, the company expanded to 50 roadside stores that sold milk, butter, eggs, served toasted sandwiches, hot dogs, and fountain drinks, including ice cream. However, the Dutchland chain did not do well during the Depression and was sold to their rival, Howard Johnson's, by 1940. Howard Johnson's was located where J. Anthony's is now at the Auburn-Oxford line. On Auburn's side of the restaurant, 28 flavors of ice cream were served. The former Dutchland store became a short-lived furniture store, then the China Terrace Motel and Restaurant Hawaii 1220, and is now Pub 99. The Mount Auburn Dairy was located on Route 20 in front of what was the Auburn Airport and is now a furniture store. The dairy was opened in 1930s by Frederick O'Shea, who built and ran it, and who also worked for the town as a sealer of weights and measures. He sold it in the late 1940s or early 1950s. The O'Shea family lived upstairs over the dairy. A picture of the dairy can also be found in the Images of Auburn book. Mount Auburn Dairy was a staunch supporter of the Auburn High School yearbook, taking ads out 1937 to 1952. There were many different meetings held at Mount Auburn during the years, including Democratic meetings, the Golden Rule Committee of the District Nurses, and the Tuesday Luncheon Club, to name a few. There was even a meeting hosted by Dr. Manfred Spaulding, where A.A. Robertson, special agent for the Auburn Board of Health, spoke on the work he was doing in town. It was also interesting that the Mount Auburn Dairy was used as a geographic reference in many types of articles about accidents, selling pets, and getting dressed or fresh turkeys, and so on. The ice cream survey is still on the Auburn Historical website and Facebook page for people to chime in their opinion. There is also email. Leave a message by phone or come visit the Auburn Historical Society and Museum located at 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesdays and Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 12:30 p.m. and may be reached by calling 508-832-6856. Or follow us on the Facebook page at Auburn Historical. What favorite ice cream place would you like to see in future articles? The following announcement is from the Auburn Police Department's Facebook page, dated July 10th. There is plenty of summer left, but special thanks to the Auburn Mass Police Department for once again organizing the school supply drive for in support of the Auburn Youth and Family Services Backpack Program. The fundraiser runs from today through August 15th, and we thank you for your generosity. That's the Back to School Supply Drive from July 10th to August 15th, 2026, to support the Auburn Youth and Family Services. Donations needed include backpacks, pencil pouches, pens, pencils, highlighters, colored pencils, crayons, markers, dry erase markers, notebooks, folders, 1-inch and 1.5-inch binders, black Sharpies, stylus, gift cards are also very much appreciated. Want us to shop for you? Send your donation to @Mallory Ryan-O'Brien-1 with subject AYFS, which is Auburn Youth and Family Services, back to school. Your donation makes a big impact. We will shop for the required supplies on your behalf. Drop-off locations include the Auburn Police Department lobby throughout the duration of the drive and the Auburn Summer and Summer Send-Off at Lemansky Park on August 11th. Questions, please contact Jonathan O'Brien at the Auburn Police Department or Lieutenant Stephanie Hayward, also at the Auburn Police Department. Thank you for helping keep our students ready to learn. Your support makes a difference in our Auburn Mass community. Following news, information, and announcements is for the town of Grafton. We begin with announcements from the Grafton Recreation Department. Summer Concert Series 2026. All concerts are on Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We begin with the first concert on Thursday, July 16th. Hit the Bus Party Rock and Dance Band will be held at Ferry Street Park. Then on Thursday, July 23rd, Stomp and Holler Country and Classic Rock at Nelson Park. And Thursday, July 30th, The Reminiscence, 50s, 60s, 70s hits at the Grafton Common. And then on Thursday, August 6th, Petty Larceny, Tom Petty Tribute Band at the Grafton Common. And finally, on Thursday, August 13th, Claflin Hill Symphony at the Grafton Common. That's again Thursday, August 13th. All concerts are from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is sponsored by the Grafton Cultural Council, Jackie Crawford Ross, Realtor, Tony's Automotive, Gaudette Insurance, O'Malley Family Chiropractic, Lincoln Precision Machinery, and Home Field Credit Union. The next announcement from the Grafton Recreation Department, save the date, Grafton Day, August 21st, 2026, from 4:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Grafton High School Complex. There'll be a car show, inflatables, food trucks and giveaways, beer and wine garden at the Grafton Community TV, and much more. Once again, save the date for the Grafton Days, August 21st, 2026, starting at 4:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Grafton High School Complex. The next announcement from the Grafton Recreation Department, free concert, third annual Hometown Heroes, Local Legends, featuring the Conversations with special guest Mitch Seidman on guitar and Jerry Wilfong on bass and Kelly Clark. That'll be on Saturday, August 8th at 2:30 p.m. This concert, this free concert, will be held at Mill Villages Park, 61 Main Street, Route 122A in South Grafton. For more information, call 508-873-1767. This program is sponsored by the Mac Cultural Council and Homefield Credit Union. The following announcement is from the Town of Grafton Mass Facebook page, dated July 10th. The Grafton Select Board is looking for three volunteers to serve on the new Grafton Common Traffic Study Committee. This committee will review the Grafton Common Traffic and Safety Study and develop a strategic plan for change and improvement at the Common. To apply, please contact the Select Board office at 508-839-5335, extension 1201, if you would like to volunteer for the Grafton Common Traffic Study Committee. Next announcement from the Town of Grafton Facebook page, dated July 8th. Town of Grafton named a recipient of the 2026 Smile Mass Floating Beach Wheelchair Grant. The Town of Grafton has been named one of the New England communities, of the sixth New England communities, awarded 2026 Smile Mass Floating Beach Wheelchair Grant. This grant will provide the community with a floating beach wheelchair at Silver Lake Beach to increase accessibility. Small miracles in life exist. That's what SMILE stands for, as a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is dedicated to helping children and adults with disabilities enjoy happy and healthy experience through education, vacation, and recreation. The initiative was pursued by the Grafton Recreation Department under the direction of Adam LaPointe, Recreation Director. When asked about being named a recipient of the grant and what it means to the Rec Department, he stated, "This is another great step in our continuing efforts to promote inclusion and accessibility in our programs and spaces around the town of Grafton." Lottie Diomede, founder and president of SMILE Mass, stated that Grafton's application was selected because of our community's commitment to accessibility, inclusion, and ensuring that individuals of all abilities have the opportunity to enjoy our community's natural resources. A public ceremony will be held on Tuesday, August 4th, 2026 at 11 a.m. at Silver Lake Beach to accept the floating wheelchair. The following announcements are from the Grafton Senior Center located at 30 Providence Highway in Grafton. First, on July 21st at 2:30 p.m., there's tech support. Grafton High School students will continue to provide tech support at the Senior Center through the summer. Also, Bagels with the Badge. Join Sergeant Spellman of the Grafton Police Department for an engaging discussion on important topics, current initiatives, and community collaboration. Don't miss this opportunity to connect, ask questions, and hear valuable insight firsthand. This at the Senior Center, Bagels with the Badge, on Thursday, July 23rd at 10 a.m. Please call the Senior Center to make a reservation for this program. The number at the Senior Center is 508-839-9242. Also on July 21st, there's a shopping trip. Here's a wonderful opportunity to get out and about and to do your shopping. We will be bringing the van to Walmart on Tuesday, July 21st. Please call the Senior Center to reserve your spot. Once again, the Senior Center's phone number is 508-839-9242. The next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center, free medical van rides for the month of July, courtesy of an anonymous donor. Through the generosity of an anonymous donor, the Senior Center is able to offer free medical van rides for Grafton residents age 60 and older, as well as those with a disability. For more information or schedule a ride, call the Grafton Senior Center at 508-839-9242. Our next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center, we have the congregate lunch meals through Elder Nutrition. The congregate meals will be served to you at your table at 11:45 a.m. Congregate meals must be eaten at your table inside the Senior Center and are not to be taken outside. You must make your reservations by noon at least 2 days in advance, weekend days not included, by calling 508-9242. The menu for the coming week includes, starting on Wednesday, July 15th, roast turkey with gravy. On Thursday, July 16th, macaroni and cheese. On Friday, July 17th, teriyaki beef. And Monday, July 20th, pork ribeye with via barbecue sauce, and on Tuesday, July 21st, Swedish meatballs, and on Wednesday, July 22nd, Sloppy Joe. If you would like to sign up for any of these meals, please call the Senior Center 2 days in advance of any of the meals you wish to participate in by calling 508-839-9242, reserved by 10:30 a.m., again, 2 days before the meal. If you are in need of home meals delivered to you, call the 508-852-3205 if you do not drive. The following article is from the July 8th edition of the Grafton News. Grafton High School announces 2026 iPad deployment sessions for new and ninth grade students. Grafton High School will hold mandatory iPad deployment sessions during the summer of 2026 for the incoming ninth graders and other new students. The sessions are part of the school's ongoing one-on-one iPad program, which provides each student and teacher with an iPad for use throughout the school day. The deployment sessions will take place at Grafton High School on several dates in August, including August 6th, August 18th, August 20th, August 24th, and August 25th. Each session lasts about 45 minutes and is limited to 40 students and their parents or guardians. Both a student and a parent or guardian must attend one session together to receive an iPad, keyboard case, and charger. Families are required to complete registration before attending a session. During these sessions, students will be informed about proper care of their devices as well as basic expectations regarding usage to support academic success. The technology department recommends that all families consider purchasing insurance for their students' device. Grafton High School maintains resources such as lab-based science courses and performance-based music and art programs while serving approximately 900 students overall. The class of 2026 consists of 204 members. Grafton High School is affiliated with Grafton Public School District, which serves more than 17,000 residents in Grafton, Mass., as part of a system enrolling about 2,900 students overall. Next article, dated July 4th, comes from the Community Advocate. Grafton was home to largest machine ever built. Grafton Wyman Gordon is a forging company with a long history in Grafton. Its North Grafton building was constructed by the U.S. Department of Defense in 1946 with heavy manufacturing capabilities to support larger, more advanced aircraft designs. Wyman Gordon was originally founded in 1883, Worcester by H. Winfield Wyman and Lyman Gordon, two graduates of Worcester Polytechnic Institute. They were making parts for textile looms. The crankshaft created by the company also had a role in the boom of the auto industry, and 35 car manufacturers used their products in their vehicles. Due to the demands of World War I, Wyman Gordon began aviation forging, producing engine parts, propellers, landing gear, and structural airframe parts. By 1940s, the industry was changing and there was increased demand for lighter metals like magnesium and later aluminum and titanium. Around this time, Wyman Gordon moved from Worcester to Grafton, working in the existing facility that specialized in aviation forging for the United States military. The United States Air Force owned the building and contracted the work out to Wyman Gordon. Then came the new building, which still stands today. Wyman Gordon bought a 150-acre farm in 1944 from Grafton, only to pass ownership onto the Defense Plant Corporation. The United States hoped to advance war programs by financing and equipping private firms. Wyman Gordon operated the plant as a contractor. Designed by J.R. Worcester and Company of Boston and built by the Defense Plant Corporation, the building was completed in 1946 at a cost of over $4 million and housed the nation's first 18,000-ton forging press. At that time, the Soviet Union possessed the world's largest heavy press, motivating the United States military to begin the Air Force Heavy Press Program. The building underwent a $50 million expansion in 1951, which included the installation of several smaller presses and a massive 50,000-ton press. The Wyman Gordon employees dubbed the massive hydraulic forging press Major. The Historic American Engineering Record recognized the 50,000-ton press as the largest machine ever built and named it a national landmark. Wyman Gordon continued to produce parts for aircrafts, space shuttles, and other military vehicles. In 1999, the Precision Cast Parts Corporation acquired Wyman Gordon. Today, Wyman Gordon owns the property, which is valued at $24.4 million, according to the Grafton's Town Assessor's Office. The following article is from the Community Advocate, dated June 29th. This is concerning the Grafton Select Board Eyes Calendar Budget. On June 16th, the Grafton Select Board discussed adopting a budget calendar, a document that neatly outlines how the budget will come together over the next year. Colleen Roy, elected to the board in 2026, presented the idea, which was among her campaign promises. It will really help to avoid some of the things we have run into here, where the school committee is meeting on the same night as the select board or other hiccups. By having a schedule laid out early in the fall, it will help bring more efficiency to the process, she told her colleagues. The board looked at the budget calendar for Hopkinton as an example. The calendar has a process begin in late September with week-by-week expectations outlined in the weeks leading up to May. Town Administrator Evan Brassard said that he'd like to work to refine the deadlines if Grafton develops a calendar, but agreed that overall it would be a good idea. I think this is a great idea. I think that having a line-by-line date lined up yearly would help eliminate a lot of confusion. I feel like this would give us a lot more time to think and compare, said Select Board member Victoria Duckworth. Next article is from the Community Advocate, July 4th edition. Now, in its fifth year, Grafton's 4th of July parade has gone from idea to institution. As they made their way down North Street, parade goers were in for a welcome surprise named Scott Rossiter. The longtime Grafton resident was posted at the end of Stonewall Drive, right next to all the action. Rossiter was armed with a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket filled with water, a foam water blaster, and impeccable aim. From the sidewalk, he sprayed those participating in the parade, avoiding, of course, those situated in an automobile or who just preferred to stay dry. People looked like they needed a drink of water, said Rossiter. The cool-off was mostly welcome as the parade-goers made their way on the 0.8-mile trek in the 90-degree heat. Though it was toasty outside, Grafton's 4th of July parade was more popular than ever, with more than 40 vehicles participating in the event's fifth year. The parade started as something much smaller. Organizer Justin Stone and others wanted to give children an opportunity to decorate their bikes. That didn't happen, at least not right away, but several community members were interested in doing floats. The rest is history. When thunderstorms were anticipated 2 years ago, most outdoor events were canceled. But Grafton's organizers held the event anyway, putting Grafton's celebration on the map statewide. It was a small-town parade, said Stone. It really took off. A half-decade of the 4th of July parade later, it's an institution. A farmer's market is at the end of the parade, complete with food trucks, local vendors, and music. The town elected its dog mayor as part of the festivities. Now it's becoming not just a parade, but about getting Grafton residents, but also people from throughout Massachusetts together to speaks to Grafton, how close everybody is and how supportive the town is of each other. We feel it's important to put on a parade and to keep it open to everyone, said Stone. Added Rossiter, I thought originally it wasn't going to stick, but it's nice to see it's grown. The idea of adding the farmers market at the end of the parade is brilliant. I think it's becoming an excellent tradition. Our common is like sacred ground. Walt Disney couldn't recreate something that looks like that. And through it's grown, though it's grown considerably, the parade remains free to participate in, run entirely by volunteers, deeply rooted in the community. During the chaos and excitement of the parade, Stone took a second look at the smiles around him. The following information, news, and announcements are for the towns of Sutton and Millbury. We begin with announcements from the Millbury Senior Center, dated July 9th. Need a ride to a medical appointment? We're here to help. The Millbury Senior Center offers medical transportation for eligible Millbury seniors with appointments outside of the WRTA catchment area. If you are or you have an upcoming medical appointment and need transportation, give us a call. Advance notice is required when scheduling so we can do our best to accommodate your ride. Call the Millbury Senior Center at 508-865-9154 to learn more or reserve a ride. If you know someone who could benefit from this service, please share this post to help spread the word. The next announcement from the Millbury Senior Center, also dated on July 9th. The Millbury Senior Center is more than a building. It's a place where friendships grow. Every day, neighbors become friends over a cup of coffee. Card games turn into lots of laughter, and someone always has a story worth hearing. Whether you stop for a class, a meal, a game, or just to say hello, there's always a seat waiting for you. If you haven't visited in a while, we'd love to see you. And if you've never been, today might be the perfect day to stop by and discover everything the Senior Center has to offer. The Senior Center is located at 1 River Street in Millbury, and their phone number is 508-865-9154. Following announcements are from the town of Sutton. The Sutton Cultural Council, mark your calendars, the Sutton Cultural Council will be hosting the Blackstone Valley Community Concert Band on the Sutton Common on Thursday, July 16th at 6:30 p.m. Bring a blanket or lawn chairs and enjoy the evening. Yes, on July 16th, the Blackstone Valley Community Concert Band will be performing. It is a nonprofit organization that was founded in 2002 and is based in Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Then on July 30th, Roots and Relics. What began in the halls of St. Patrick Parish as a shared love for Celtic melodies has blossomed into Roots and Relics, a 5-member band with a story as rich and diverse as their sound. And then on August 6th, Bad News Jazz and Blues Orchestra, Jeff Gavioli and his Bad News Jazz and Blues Orchestra, featuring vocalist Cindy Reed, is a 19-piece jump, jive, and wail big band that carries on the excellent and exciting part of a big band era. These programs are supported by a grant from the Sutton Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency. Following announcement is from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, local cooling locations. Here is information on local cooling locations in Millbury and Sutton. While the temperature broke after the oppressive heat last week, it will come back. you could use this information below. While temperatures broke after an oppressively hot July 4th week, there is still plenty of summer to go and plenty of heat in the long-term forecast. In Millbury, the official cooling station is the Millbury Public Library at 128 Elm Street during normal operating hours. In Sutton, the Sutton Senior Center at 19 Huff Road and the Sutton Free Public Library for Uxbridge Road are cooling stations for those in need. The Senior Center is normally open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. The library is normally open Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Tuesday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For those needing assistance outside of normal business hours, call the non-emergency phone for the police department. The Sutton Police Department lobby is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as a cooling station. Residents who need assistance or have questions may contact the Sutton Police Department's non-emergency line, which is 508-865-4449 or 508-865-8747. Call 911 if you're experiencing an emergency. During periods of extreme heat, drink plenty of water even if you don't feel thirsty. Limit outdoor activities during the hottest part of the day. Wear lightweight, light-colored clothing. Spend time in air-conditioned locations whenever possible. Never leave children, older adults, or pets in a vehicle. And check on elderly neighbors, relatives, and anyone who may be especially vulnerable to the heat. Next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated July 8th. New construction is most feasible option for old fire station site. Experts evaluating Millbury's old fire station and its site on Elm Street presented a good news, bad news scenario to the Board of Selectmen on June 23rd. The site could accommodate both residential and mixed-use development of a new building, but rehabbing the structurally challenged building would likely be problematic. Ewan Innes, the Chief Technology Officer and Director of Municipal Services with Innes Land Strategies Group, presented details of a study for the development of a request for proposal, RFP, for the site of the former fire station headquarters. The study outlined the condition of the 1947 building, the limitations of the site, and the possibilities for new construction on the site. Innes said, "The building has serious challenges, undersized roof rafters with the accompanying problems, making the brick facade unsound and the building as it stands today structurally deficient. The other challenges, asbestos in the kitchen area, outdated heating system, no cooling system, and not being ADA accessible. The site challenges Innes outlined include an unrecorded easement for an entrance exit for an abutting property, but otherwise only space and zoning setback limitations. Those limitations would not prevent a residential, commercial, or mixed-use development with varying configurations. A reuse of the new construction could be anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 square feet of commercial space or more and additional square footage for residential use. Sample configurations shown by Innes included building closer to the front of the property and extending further out behind the property with a possible 21 parking spaces or a possible restaurant with outdoor seating. The study done by Innes Land Strategies included interviewing developers and architects and considering all options, full or partial demolition and full or partial replacement of the building. It also examined the marketing feasibility. Regarding the challenges of reuse, Innes said the building could be repaired, but it would be expensive, and that expense would make the pool of potential proposers very, very small. It's really only going to be feasible if historic rehabilitation tax credit is available for the property, Innes said. Some other incentives for developers could include zoning changes or tax incentives to maintain a historic building. The station is on the Massachusetts list of historic buildings, but not on the Federal Register of Historic Places. Innis recommended issuing the RFP with a long lead time to give potential developers time to investigate the options for the property. Innis was hired on a Mass Development grant to help the town develop an RFP for the site. The next step is for the town to decide which option to pursue and whether to use the sample RFP provided by Mass Development to find a developer interested in the project. Acting town manager Nicole Valentine said there had been some interest in the property already for both mixed-use retail and restaurants. The following announcement is from the Millbury Public Library, dated July 3rd. Perhaps no crime has touched the imagination of America in the same way as the August 4th, 1892 murders of Andrew and Abby Borden. Even to this day, many facts of the case are unknown to the public at large. In this talk with Sarah Hodge Weatherby, the librarian and lecturer better known as Geek Gal, will learn more about the story leading up to the murders, explore the evidence, and peer into the darkest corners of this strange and unsolved mystery and its aftermath. The program is for adults ages 18 and up. This will be presented at the Millbury Public Library on Wednesday, July 29th at 6 p.m. The following announcement is from the Asa Waters Mansion in Millbury. Summer family concert Far From Eden will be presented on Thursday, July 16th at 6 p.m. at the Asa Waters Mansion. Next announcement from the Asa Waters Mansion, Millbury Farmers Market at the Mansion. The third Thursday of the month, from June through October, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Asa Waters Mansion is located at 123 Elm Street, Millbury. Community News Program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Marty Wensky. Thank you for joining me.
This is Bird Note. Some ducks don't sound like ducks at all. Some, like the harlequin, squeak, earning them the nickname of sea mice. Harlequins are unique in the duck world in other ways as well. Alone among North American waterfowl, harlequins breed along fast-flowing rivers and streams. Quick and agile in rushing white water, they dive to the bottom of mountain streams for food. What kind of name is harlequin for a duck? If you're lucky enough to spot one of these rare birds in winter, perhaps along a rocky shore of the Puget Sound in Washington or Penobscot Bay in Maine, you may guess the answer. Dressed in multicolor patches, harlequin is the jester of traditional Italian comedy. The male duck with the jester's name is just as striking, with his slate-blue feathers and vivid white, black, and chestnut markings. The rigorous lives of harlequins require great adaptability, transitioning from freshwater to salt, from meals of caddisfly larvae to crabs and barnacles. Some, in fact, migrate by traveling directly downstream from the mountains to the ocean. Constant, however, is their unmatched ability to swim and feed in the turbulent waters where they live. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Antonio was vacationing on the Isle of Beguile, an island where the natives always lie and visitors always told the truth. He was strolling along the beach one day when he approached two ladies tanning themselves. One of the ladies got up and said, "I'm Sandy, and this is my friend Dawn." One of the ladies was a native and the other a visitor. After her introduction, Sandy said to Antonio, "One of us is a native. Which one is a native and which one is a visitor?"
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Sandy is the visitor and Dawn is the native. Since we know that one of the ladies is a native and the other a visitor, the visitor must be Sandy since the statement she made is true.
And now back to our regular programming.